around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. We'd like to welcome you, as always, today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's always our joy, and I say that with humility, it's always our joy to be with you and to share with you the goodness of God, His great grace, His great love, and His untold mercy. Psalms 147, verse 11, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him and in those that hope in His mercy." Do you hope in His mercy today? I hope in His mercy every day. I need His mercy. Without His mercy, I can do nothing. I need His sovereign, His divine touch on my life. And without that divine touch, I just can't accomplish anything. And I know that you too cannot accomplish anything. It takes the touch of God, the Spirit of God, to help us to do anything. John 15:5, "I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing." We can't do anything without God's help and without God's grace. So I want to encourage you today to really trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding, but in all of thy ways acknowledge the Lord, and he shall direct your paths." God is in the paths instruction to order your steps accordingly, to order your steps in his word. Why? So that he can keep us from harm, from detriment, from loss, from evil things happening to us. Because believe you me, my friend, Satan seeks to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said emphatically, "I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Amen. I'm so glad today I have abundant life. Now, before we get into the scriptures, the program today, revival starting this Friday night at 7 p.m. at the Rutherford Church of God, 120 Top Avenue, Ellenboro, North Carolina. The zip is 28040. Again, the zip is 28040. My brother pastors a church there. He's a great musician, a great singer, and preacher. And we're going to be there Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning preaching this weekend. I know we have a lot of listeners close by that can come and support us and be with us, and I would like to meet some of you. If you really get to know me, I'm a very hospitable person. I might be a little gravelly in my preaching, a little strong for some. At the end of the day, you know I preach the Word of God, and that's what this country needs, is the Word of God. And a touch of God. I'm exceedingly joyful with God's grace. But I do want to remind you again, this revival, this Saturday night, and this Sunday morning. We may have a Q&A Saturday morning. I'm not sure. We'll see how that turns out, how many people shows up, etc. But again, the address is 120 Top Avenue, Ellenboro, E-L-L-E-N, E as in Edward, Ellenboro, North Carolina, zip code 28040. And my brother's cell phone is 828-289-4659. Again, that's 28-289-4659. If you need any more needed information, there are a couple of motels in the city of Forest City. Forest City, that's about 20 minutes away from the church. The church is literally out in the country. And so the nearest motels are about 20 minutes away. Holiday Inn and Baymount Inn and Suites. Baymount Inns and Suites in Forest City. I'd love to see you. We're going to have a great time in the Lord. And I know God is going to touch. He always does touch and bless us when we minister the Word of God. I want to play a song today and dedicate it to every listener today. I want to dedicate it to everyone who has been struggling, grappling with certain things. But I want to remind you, God is your refuge, my friend. What would I do without Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God? I know I cannot make it without him. I cannot make him without him. Well, I wonder if Barbara Streisand and Cher and all those people are going to leave the United States. I wonder if they're going to keep their word or going to be like the rest of the lying politicians and stay in America. I'm telling you in my heart, in my spirit, get ready for revival, but get ready for great persecution. I'm going to talk about this in more detail next week. I want to draw you a very vivid picture, a very, very vivid picture of what I foresee coming in the very near future. It's grim in one sense of the word, but it's great in the other sense of the word. But I wonder if they'll keep their word and they'll go ahead and leave. Kind of doubt it, don't you? They're just like the politicians. Hollywood has some people in there that are, you know, dishonest. But I also want to make a statement because I know a man. I know a man that's a very godly man that lives in that industry. You know, God always keeps a little salt, a little light somewhere to prove himself. And if I call, he's a producer. He supports our ministry. Gracious, loving man from my South Carolina. And God took him to California. He's been a light. And for the sake of his anonymity, I will not call his name. But he's a devout, dedicated man of God. And Arthur, I know you're faithful. And that's all God wants out of anyone, is faithfulness. And I appreciate this dear brother and his light and his stance in Christ. You see, I didn't know him, but he heard me and started listening. And for his anonymity and privacy, I will not say any more, but a great, great man of God and a man I've come to love and appreciate, and hopefully I'll get to meet in the very near future. You know, we have a broad spectrum of people that listen to us. And, I'm always amazed when I find someone like him listening because I know that I preach uncompromisingly. You know, I don't, you know, cut any slack. I love everyone. I love everyone. And that's why, because I love you, I cannot afford to compromise the message. I cannot compromise the message for your sakes, because I'm going to give an account for the sermons. A man and a jawbone. A man and a jawbone. Let's pick it up in Judges 15, verse 11. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Edom. That word Edom means ravenous creatures, greedy creatures. And said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so have I done unto them. Kind of the New Testament. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. And they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that ye shall not fall upon me yourselves. Of course, they said, we will not fall on you. Verse 13. And they spake unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. God is setting us free. Do not misinterpret God's grace and mercy. We must keep pressing on. We must keep praying. We must keep fasting. Come January, I'll be right back to fasting. Nothing will change. And that's the problem with the church. Every time God gives us a victory, we get cold and tepid and lukewarm and indifferent. We go back to our old ways. We forget God because everything is going well. The Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Verse 15, and he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. How does one man and a jawbone slay 1,000 soldiers? Just one of the weak things that God uses. I quoted it yesterday, I'll quote it again, 1 Corinthians 1:26. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the things that are wise, the weak things of the world, to destroy the things that are mighty. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. God took a man and a jawbone and defeated 1,000 men. Think about what I'm saying here, folks. 1,000 men could stampede one man. Just run over him and stampede him like a bunch of horses or cattle and kill him. Kill him. 1,000 men. Donald Trump destroyed 1,000 points of opposition with God. Now, I don't claim that Donald Trump knows God. I don't know his relationship with God, but I recognize miracles. When you defeat 16 opposing candidates, when you defeat both parties, Democrat and Republican, when you defeat the corrupt, vile, wicked, lying media, like the Clinton News Network, Who do you think wrought those kind of victories? It sure isn't man. I quoted it yesterday. I quoted today, John 15:5. I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. You can't do anything without God's touch. You can't. You just can't do it. God did this. God touched Samson. Why? The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Luke 4:18, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. That's what Jesus said. He was actually reading from Isaiah chapter 61. But he was quoting Isaiah 61. And of course, Luke, the apostle, pens it in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Then he says in verse 21, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. The Greek says, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. What you're hearing is being fulfilled right now, Jesus said. God took a man and a new jawbone of an ass. And I suppose it had to be new in the sense that it was still moist and wouldn't fracture and fall apart and crack apart while you're whipping 1,000 men. I mean, this story always marvels me. You know how God does. The book of Judges, by the way, there are about seven weak things in the book of Judges that God used when it came for victories in his people's lives. Because God can do anything. He took the jawbone of an ass. He took pitchers and trumpets. A millstone or a piece of a millstone. He took a nail. He took a woman. He took an ox goad. A left hand. Won't get into all of that. Of Ehud, that was a murder. But the point is, just like I said with pitchers and trumpets, that's how Gideon won the victory. God can do anything, folks. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Last Monday and Tuesday, I really went to the Lord in prayer on this election. And I remind God of his word, John 14:13, "And whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, I will give it unto you, that the Father might be glorified in the Son." John 15:7, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Mark 11:24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Matthew 7:7, "Ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And to him that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Psalms 34:15, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cries." I quoted so much Bible back to God. I said, "God, this is your word, not mine. Honor your word. Honor it." I'm not commanding him. I'm not demanding him. I'm asking him. Because I believe the word of the Lord. I believe the word of the Lord. Now, we got a lot of people that say, "Oh, I believe God." Do you really believe God? Do you really, really believe God? Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, "Where the word of a king is, there is power." Well, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I quote him his word. "Where the word of a king is, there is power." The Spirit of God came upon Samson. And he took a moist jawbone of a jackass, and he put forth his hand, and he took it, and he slew 1,000 men therewith. Donald Trump, God used the man to slay 1,000 points of opposition, a man and a jawbone. Samson said, "With the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps. With the jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men." As I said, the men could have literally stampeded him. The enormous. Think about you, one person, or in a building that's, let's just say, a 5,000 square feet. I don't even know if 5,000 square feet building can hold 1,000 people. But just the enormity, the morass of people could stampede you like a herd and just run all over you. And yet God took a man with the Spirit of the Lord upon him, and the jawbone, a new jawbone, one that would not fall apart when he began to use it, and he whipped him. in the South, he whooped them. He whooped all of them. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called the place Ramoth Lehi. That is the lifting up of a jawbone or casting away of the jawbone. He lifted it up, used it against the enemies, and then he cast it to the side. He cast it to the side. Now here's what's powerful. And he was sore athirst. Many of you listening to me today, you've been so thirsty for God's righteousness. You've been so thirsty for God's justice. You've been so thirsty for God to prevail. Listen, I said it yesterday, Hebrews 6:10. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints, and ye do minister. I don't always feel like coming to this studio and ministering the word of God. I sat up till 3:30 a.m. Wednesday morning. I didn't want to go to bed until I knew the truth. I was determined I wouldn't go nowhere until I got a solid understanding so I could go to sleep in peace. There are times I too am tired, mentally, physically, spiritually. And I keep going in the mode and the mood of faith. I keep being faithful. I tell everybody, God does not expect you to produce results. God expects you to be faithful. Just like in Nashville a couple weekends ago when I was preaching, the young man, I mean, all liquored up, reeked with the smell of liquor, both Saturday night and Sunday morning, came in there and gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. That all my prayer, all my fasting, all my preaching is worth just one. I have no idea what all God has done, but just one, that's how much it means to me. When I see God moves, man, it just... My elation, I am so elated when I see God move. Samson was sore athirst, and he called on the Lord and said, "Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised?" No, you won't, Samson. Can I tell you, God's people never lose. Backsliders lose. Tepid, lukewarm, indifferent people lose, but God's redeemed, Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled people, we don't ever lose. We don't. I remember some weeks ago on the Hagman show, I made the statement, I never become hopeless, but I have been at times helpless. Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, which is given to us by the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost, he never loses hope. Therefore, if he lives in me, I cannot lose hope. I don't care how bad it gets. Something inside of me says, you can't quit, you can't give up, you can't lose hope. The Holy Ghost will not let me ever lose my entire hope. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let me quote it again, Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Holy Ghost is not ever hopeless. Thus, if he lives in you, he lives in me, we can never become hopeless. Here's an amazing thing. Verse 19, but God cleaved a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water there out, and when he had drunk, his spirit came again, he revived himself. Wherefore he called the name thereof Enhekori. 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 Enhekori, if you run it together real quick. Enhekori. What did God do? God, through his mighty power, made water come out of the jaw. You see, and let me say it again, God can do anything. God can do anything. By some miraculous, I can't explain this. I can't tell you how God created a hollow place and a jawbone of an ass and made water just start coming out of it. But listen, as I said yesterday, Jeremiah 32, 27, behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And after he drank, his spirit came again, and he revived. Psalms 85, verse 6, will thou not revive us again, O Lord, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Psalms 105 and 3, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face evermore. Psalms 98, verses 1 and 2 says, his right hand, his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. He hath made known his salvation or his deliverance unto his people. God has given us a deliverance, folks. God has made known the power of his right hand. His right hand, his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. You and I got victory through Jesus. That's how we got our victory. This is a great victory. If Donald Trump keeps his word, what the Lord allowed to happen will affect generations. He will put conservative Supreme Court justices on the Supreme Court. You see, we never understand the magnitude of what God does when it's just a little thing. And that's why I love to preach about Jehochabed, Moses' mother. She put him in the little ark and put him in the bulrushes. She sent Miriam, Moses' sister, down to the Nile River. Watch what happens. God touches Pharaoh's daughter's heart. She says, go get me a Hebrew maid to nurse him. This is a Hebrew child. And I'm sure she understood that by circumcision, but we'll not go into that subject. But that's how she could easily tell without a doubt. And get me a maid to nurse him. Well, Miriam, being the good little sister, goes and gets mama, and Pharaoh's daughter pays Moses' mother to nurse him. But what I find so powerful about this subject of Moses and the bulrushes, and I'll never forget it years ago, maybe 20 years ago, when I was reading and studying this story, the Spirit of God showed me Jehochabed, Moses' mother. He showed me her heart. She was rejoicing. She was elated. She was happy. God is saving my baby. You got to remember, Pharaoh was killing all the kids he could get his hands on. I mean, he's killing all the kids. I should say the male children. Go back to Exodus 1 and 22. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. And the Lord was showing me her heart. She's rejoicing. She's elated. God has saved my baby. And the Lord said, what she did not understand was, I was not only saving her baby, I was saving her baby to save a nation 80 years from then. 80 years later. 80 years later. See, God has done something right now that is going to have a lasting effect. See, God showed me her heart. And that, wait a minute, I'm not just saving your little boy. I'm saving your little boy so that I can save a nation. I know there's been times the enemy sought to take me out, but God wouldn't suffer him. Even while I was a backslider and away from God in my sinful, wicked days, that God knew I would turn, be converted, and come back and preach the word uncompromisingly. So he spared me all sorts of evil plots against my life. There's no doubt. I don't doubt it one bit. The car wrecks I've been through. And, buddy, did I ever have car wrecks? Because when you drink, you don't drive good. But God saved me from every wreck. Rolling cars, hitting telephone poles head on. You name it, I've done it. Yes. Yes. Flipping cars over, hitting telephone poles head on. Oh, by the way, drunk driving causes accidents. God cleaved, or he hollowed out a place in the jawbone, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof Anhechorah. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines. Now, the word Anhechorah means fountain of one's calling. And I thought about, you see, that's why I do so much word study. It's called etymology, word studies. And I thought about that word, Anhechorah. Now, the fundamental meaning there in the Hebrew is the well of him that called, or the well of him that cried out. And I thought in the full definition there in the Hebrew is fountain of one's calling. See, when God calls, God supplies a fountain. Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. John 7, 38, he that believeth in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Isaiah 12, 3, therefore with joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation. God has so much to give his people. God has so much to give to his people, yet we don't seem to hunger and thirst like we ought to hunger and thirst. But I'm telling you, I know some of you. I've met some of you. I've worshiped with some of you, like Patrick and Evelyn Cusack out of Texas. The Colonel, I've worshiped with you. I've been with you in services. Forgive me, I can't call everyone's name. But my point is this. I know you've sacrificed, and God does not forget your work and labor of love. God doesn't forget. God doesn't forget. This is why we must be now on guard. 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The battle has just begun, folks. Next week, I'm gonna exegete Luke 24, the two men on the road to Emmaus. I'm going to show you how this nation has been eviscerated, This nation has been crucified, and we've had a resurrection, and all hell broke loose after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All hell broke loose after the resurrection. The beheadings, the stonings, the imprisonment, the martyrdom, it began. While they were all grief-stricken, the spirit of bereavement had taken control over Jerusalem. This great prophet, this great man of God was dead. We watched him as they crucified him. We watched as they buried him and put a stone over his tomb. Oh, but he said in John 2:19, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Did you know, had the disciples really believed his word, where they would have been on the third day? They should have been standing there at the tomb. Hello? They should have been standing there at the tomb. Why? He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now, they were like the other Jews. They said, 46 years was this temple in building, and without rear it up in 3 days? In other words, destroy it. Took 46 years to build it. You're going to destroy it, and in 3 days you're going to build it back? But John said he spake of the temple of his own body. That's what he was talking about. But like most carnal people, they don't get it. I want to show you next week, God willing, what we are about to encounter. But that does not discourage me at all. You've heard the old cliche, the greater the battle, the greater the victory. Samson. He said, now that you've given me this great victory, this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, now shall I die for thirst? Now will I die because of a lack of water? No, Samson, you will not die due to a lack of water. I'm going to make water, crystal clear water, come out of the jawbone of an ass. You see, God can use anything. That's why I've taken these two programs and entitled them A Man and a Jawbone. A Man and a Jawbone. When I think about the majesty, the deity, the divinity of God, my friend, God can do absolutely anything he wants to do. Why? He's the God of all flesh. You can't put limits on God. It's impossible. It is impossible. You know, while I was praying last Tuesday, and while I was praying, I felt constrained by the Spirit of God to ask you a question. How many times do you tell God, I love you? I love you. Listen to me. Listen to me closely as I'm winding down. How many times do you tell God, I love you? Because the Lord impressed upon my heart, he doesn't hear that enough from us. All he hears, give me, give me, give me, give me. Heal me, heal me, heal me. Deliver me, deliver me. Save me. Give me money. Give me a new job. Give me a better spouse. Give me. How many times does God hear you in true intimacy from your heart say, Lord, I love you. I really do love you, Jesus. How many times does God hear you in a week tell him, I love you? The truth is, we don't hear it often enough, or he doesn't hear it from us often enough. Yet John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. John 13:15, greater love. Or 15:13, 13:15, I messed it up. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jeremiah, what a great display of God's love. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And how many times do you tell him you love him? I could go on talking about the love of God. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. It's the love of God that even saved you. The love of God, wherein God reached out to you to save you. Did you embrace it or spurn it? A man and a jawbone is a majority when God is in the midst of it. Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen to the profoundness of that verse, Romans 8:37. Nay, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How often do you tell him, Lord, I love you? I love you. Can I invite you, can I encourage you today to start telling him every day I love you? And while I'm talking about love, let me encourage you to pray for Donald Trump. You know, I've made it a point, and I'm going to admit something. I've prayed casually. I suppose I've spent, as far as praying for a political leader, I've prayed for Benjamin Netanyahu more than anyone. As a politician, a political leader, Benjamin Netanyahu, I have prayed for him more than any politician. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to start praying for Donald Trump on a regular basis. I'm going to lift up his name in prayer. This man needs divine protection. I was thinking the other day, he's 70 years old. And the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, Proverbs 21:1. And he's probably thinking, this was my mindset. This is David talking here from his heart. What can I do? I've built the Trump Towers. My name's all over this, and golf courses in Scotland and California and Florida. I mean, all over the place. What can I do ever that's a longer lasting, indelible impression? And the Lord puts it in his heart. Run for the presidency of the United States of America. And somehow I want to believe the night of that vast audience and Barack Hussein Obama was mocking him about the birther movement and certificate, that night that God put in his heart, Donald, run for president. Run for the president of these United States. And Donald came home and told Melania, you know what? I think I'll run for the president. You remember the scripture verse I gave you yesterday? Proverbs 16 and verse 9. Remember that verse? A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. He probably sat there. And that's why Isaiah chapter 45 is so apropos about King Cyrus. He says, though you do not know me, I have anointed you. Listen, nobody has to have a divine relationship with God for God to use them. Why? God can do anything. Joseph's brethren were a great demonstration of how they devised something in their hearts. But God directed their steps. That's the magnificence of God. A man can say, well, I'm going to do this. And he thinks he's just doing it because he's doing it. No. He's doing it because God put it in his heart. And the great, majestic, profound, august thing is that God dropped it in his heart. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. Joseph's brethren said, this is what we're going to do. And God says, yeah, but that's my will, because I'm getting Joseph to Pharaoh. I'm getting Joseph in prison, and I'm getting him to be the prime minister of Egypt, because I'm going to use Egypt to build me a nation. God made Egypt house, clothe, and feed Israel. Yes, they worked. Yes, they were in slavery, but they got divine reparations when they came out with the gold, the silver, and all the fine linen. I'm telling you, this is why you can never give up. No matter how bleak, how ominous, how pathetic it looks in the natural. Hey! Mary and Martha said, Lord, he stinketh by now. He stinks. He's rotten. He's 4 days dead. Jesus said, don't you understand? I am the resurrection. We can think something is dead. We can think our dream is dead. Our hope is dead. No, not with God. Remember when Jesus raised the damsel? They laughed at him. They laughed at Jesus. You idiot. She's dead. He said, no, she's asleep. Oh, you idiot. They mocked him. They mocked Jesus. They mocked him. They mocked Trump to no end. Let me say this. You know, get your news from anywhere besides ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN. Go somewhere else and get it. Don't ever watch those lying devils anymore. Don't see that they get ratings because you watch them. I used to watch ABC World News. David Muir. I won't watch him anymore. Why? They're liars, and I'm not going to let them have unable to count one vote in my house from watching their news network. No, I'm not going to do it anymore. I quit months ago. I said, I'm sick and tired of you lying devils. You do this stuff. They know when you're watching. That's how the Nielsen ratings are recorded, because they, through all the technology, they know how many viewers. Hey, listen, I'll be Friday night at Rutherford Church of God, 120 Top Avenue, Top Avenue, Ellenboro, North Carolina, 28040. Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning. There's two hotels in Forest City, Holiday Inn, Baymount Inns. The number you can call is 828 828- 828-289-4659. Again, that's 828-289-4659. 828-289-4659. I'll be there Friday night preaching the word of the Lord uncompromisingly. Come see me, those of you within 100 miles. Come visit with me. God will bless you. You'll be edified. You'll be touched. I promise you. Call the Colonel, Seed Time Harvest Ministry, and ask him, did God touch their church? I love you. I'll see you soon.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.